Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility over at GNO Inc. And we've had Daphne on the show many, many times talking about a number of initiatives that GNO Inc. has taken on. But we're going to start out with her Katrina experience because she was a school teacher in the New Orleans public school system. And Daphne, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me on, Noel. How are you?
Thank you for joining us. So, Daphne, let's start out with your Katrina experience.
Well, you know, Katrina, as for a lot of our families, was incredibly devastating for me. Our family, of course, evacuated. We were in a little town called Iota. I don't know if you're even familiar, but
I know where it is.
They had T-shirts that said, "Where the heck is Iota?" So that's where we were. We came home, and I don't know if you know this, but I actually live in Belchase. We came home, and if you don't know about Plaquemines Parish, which is right outside of New Orleans, and you know, it's a rural area. We were completely wiped away. My grandparents' house, we walked through and it was sideways about a mile away from where it was. It was laying on its side. Our home, the roof was blown off our home. It was a two-story house. The entire half of the second floor was blown off. We had to pick up pictures in the streets. I'm thankful we didn't lose family members. I have an uncle. Everyone has a colorful uncle in their family, and he tells the story of how they had to rescue him off of a telephone pole because the water was so high in his trailer that it lifted him up high enough to be on a telephone pole, and he was rescued from there. That's in Plaquemines Parish, and you know, we hear about the devastation in New Orleans and our surrounding parishes. We experienced a lot. When I drive back home further down towards Port Sulphur in the Naren area, completely unrecognizable, and hardly anyone has come back. It chokes me up just thinking about it today, where I played as a child in the country, you know, riding four-wheelers and, you know, go-karts and out with my cousins. It's no longer there anymore. And my son can't experience that. Everyone's gone.
Have you moved back to that area or no?
We do live in Belchase. Some of my family is further down in the Port Sulphur and Naren area, but I would say about 80% of them are gone now. So that culture is no longer there as it was for me. We have rebuilt in Plaquemines Parish where, you know, I don't know if you remember the Port Sulphur Broncos, where
Absolutely.
My parents graduated from school. The Port Sulphur Broncos and Burris, they joined together for South Plaquemines on the east bank of the parish where I taught for a while at Phoenix High School. Very, you know, small local community. They fought and was able to place a school back in Phoenix because that's the lifeblood of the east bank in Plaquemines Parish. And I have family on both sides of the river. And so those communities are still rebuilding. And we have, you know, we've come together and things look different. But the spirit of the people are still there, which I think is incredibly important. And one of the things that really came out, especially with teaching, was the power of our community. Because the recovery wasn't led by one single institution. It was a collective effort. We had churches, nonprofit, grassroots organizers, and really our ordinary citizens, our families, our neighbors. They carried the weight of it in those early days. We all carried the weight. We had neighbors with their chainsaws cutting down trees. We came together. And it's hard, but, you know, what I'm hoping for that comes out of this. You know, I hate the term resilience. What I want to talk about is resurgence of New Orleans. That's what we need of our entire region.
Yeah, you know, I had this conversation, I've said it a couple times on air with Walt Leger the other day, where we always talk about how we punch above our weight. And, and you know, I said, Walt, we probably need to put on some more weight. And he goes, well, muscle mass for sure. You know, because
absolutely,
you know, it can't be that we're always punching above our weight, right? I mean, we have to be the big boy at some point in time. And
yes,
and I love that observation that you make. I too don't like this resilience, moniker, because it always sounds to me like we're always in a struggle, you know,
yes.
And we're always fighting to survive as opposed to exceeding, you know, excelling. And so I don't know. It's just, I kind of have the same pet peeve you do, Daphne. I don't like the term.
I get so tired of it. And you know, when we talk about excelling and putting on muscle, think about what just happened in education today. We have two top schools that's been named nationwide. Ben Franklin High School, which has, you know, we've known this for years, but Lake Forest Elementary, New Orleans East, one of our hardest hit areas, the number one elementary school. You're talking about nationwide. You want to talk about with some real muscle? I mean, that's what's going on in places where sometimes we hear negative stories. Let's talk about New Orleans East. Let's talk about Lake Forest Elementary and Middle School. You know,
yeah, you made an observation just a second ago, and I think that's really the difference maker about how, you know, communities rallied around their school, right, where their children were going to school, and teachers rallied around their school, and you had parents showing up with chainsaws and brooms and garbage bags and mops and paintbrushes and paint and, you know, because they knew that the fastest way to get their life back together was to get their kids' school back, right?
And, absolutely.
You know, and I think that's the difference between the kids that kind of came in through the Katrina days and the aftermath. I think a lot better psychologically were those that got back into their place, their school home, so to speak,
exactly,
sooner rather than later. Yeah, your thoughts about
that? I'm with you 100%. And I want to tell you, you know, we face changes with our school system, but the normalcy and routine, as we all know, is what young people need. And we also know that New Orleans is rooted in where you went to school. That's a part, that's an intrinsic part of who we are, right? If someone asks, and this may sound repetitive, but if someone asks what school you went to, I mean, we want to know what high school you went to.
Right.
And parents talked about this. This was part of the neighborhoods. This was part of the culture. Whoever taught your parent in eighth grade was most likely going to be your eighth grade teacher. Right.
Right.
We talk about how schools, even now, the importance of schools. We see a number of schools returning to their pre-Katrina names because of the community. Right.
Yep,
how
absolutely.
Much it meant. And so when you see this going on, that is an indicator of how important school is to our young people, and having them back placed in normalcy is something that is an indicator of their psychological well-being.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, we see this constant when school is interrupted. We could see it in COVID, what happened with young people, even with socialization, even with learning outcomes. We have to make sure our young people are learning.
Definitely. I want to make sure that I leave ourselves enough time to talk about I love the path that you're on there, you know, and it's so true in so many different ways. But let's talk about NOLA Connect series. It's something that the NOLA Coalition is doing, and I want to make sure that we have enough time to talk about it. So tell us about what's going on there.
So NOLA Connect is something we're doing with the NOLA Coalition. Our initiative is designed to go into targeted neighborhoods, and it is a strategic listening and engagement initiative. And we want to do this to strengthen our youth violence prevention through targeted, data-informed investments in community-identified priorities. We want to make sure that when we go into communities and we're hearing back from them and getting, you know, what they want to hear. And we're looking at, we've done one in Mid-City in partnership with Son of a Saint. We are doing our Algiers. We're currently planning our Algiers NOLA Connect listening tour. And then we are going to New Orleans East, and on deck coming up is also going to be the Lower Ninth Ward. And if you look at the trajectory and look at where we're playing, these are all areas where we can see a little bit more resurgence, a little bit more for our young people. We want to see more community and business investment there. And we want to, you know, NOLA Connect operates at the intersection of community voice, public safety, and coordinated implementation. And so we are, you know, collecting some data. We're asking the people what they want to see. We're partnering with trusted community-based nonprofits and gathering quantifiable neighborhood-level data to shape priorities based on what the community is saying. And I cannot emphasize that enough. You know, each community is going to have a different need.
I'm really excited y'all are going to the East, and to mm-hmm. kind of bring it back kind of under this Katrina umbrella. I said this the other day. I guess, you know, I'm sure I'll get criticized for it, but I just have to make these observations. You know, for me, I actually lived in the East for a while. For me, the East was always an economic center that I thought in the aftermath of Katrina got ignored. And it was almost as if we migrated over to the Lower Nine as though that was the major economic center of the city. And that's the story that the national media has kind of put out there for a long, long time. I don't know why we embraced it, because I think we sold ourselves short in our story as to how we were trying to rebuild the city. Because the government is financed by taxes, and you got to go to economic microeconomic centers, get them up and running, get the tax base going and everything else. But for some reason, we seem to have forgotten that the East was a huge economic center. And as I drive through the East today, and that's why I was really excited about hearing about Lake Forest Elementary. When as we drive through the East today, I still feel it. You know, I mean, 20 years later, right? It feels like we are still struggling, and it presents itself that we're still struggling. Your thoughts?
So I'm going to tell you, I attended St. Mary's Academy in the East. That's where I graduated from high school. So I have a deep tie to New Orleans East. And you are absolutely right. New Orleans East is an economic, I mean, the opportunity. There were many grocery stores, varieties of things, all these economic indicators. We had Lake Forest Mall. We had, there were bowling alleys. There were things for the young people. And I get what you're saying about the story that the national media put out with the Lower Nine after Katrina. And I'm going to say this, the Lower Nine needs that economic boost. Absolutely.
Sure.
But what you're saying about New Orleans East, it should no longer look like it is still in recovery. We have invested families who want to see economic growth in their neighborhood. We have businesses that are saying that they want to invest in New Orleans East. We have to figure out a way to make that happen. It's necessary. Why aren't these things happening? Why aren't we making that investment? And I think that's the other question we need to you know, address.
Yeah, you know, when we struggle for affordable housing, I mean, I think there's no other place that has the opportunity that the East has. It just seems like we haven't been able to develop a strategy around it, a coordinated strategy of all the players. when you think about the population migration loss that we are experiencing, that in and of itself should cause all of us to be looking at ourselves critically in the mirror to try and figure out a solution to that problem and how we go about turning that tide, you know, that trend, you know, and reversing it. We hear the cry. I think we're hearing the cry loud and clear. You know, you're in a lot of those meetings. I think we hear the cry. It just seems like we can't, I don't know, we can't get it together. And it's sad when you drive through the East and you can visually feel, you can see and feel the struggle.
Absolutely. And it's a gateway through our city to the city center of New Orleans.
Sure.
People have to come through there. People see it. And it's hard to understand why. And there are many factors. So, you know, that's for a longer show on a different date, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are definitely many factors that contribute to this. But I believe that the NOLA Connect, with getting some more of those community voices and getting businesses invested.
Oh, absolutely.
And coming together with a solidified plan of action, I think that can be something that can propel a new conversation, because what we're doing in the past isn't working. We need a new conversation and new action being taken specifically for New Orleans East.
Resurgence as opposed to resilience. I love it. Daphne Barnes, definitely a difference maker here in the city of New Orleans. Thank you for all that you do. Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc. Thank you, ma'am. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we'll visit with Glade Bilby, President of the French Quarter Citizen and co-chair of SOS Save Our Soul Coalition Armstrong Park. Yes, 20 years later, groundbreaking for the renovations to the Municipal Auditorium tomorrow morning. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Glade Bilby, President of the French Quarter Citizens and co-chair of SOS Save Our Soul Coalition Armstrong Park. 20 years after Katrina, and Glade, I understand they are breaking ground for the renovations to the Municipal Auditorium tomorrow morning. I guess for many of us, we thought this day would never come. Your thoughts?
Actually, we're a day early. They're going to do it today at 1:30.
Uh-oh.
It got changed. Yeah, it got changed. It got changed yesterday afternoon. So we're beating the clock here at 20 years.
So I stand corrected then. 19 years and 360, what, 2 days.
62 days, right. Right. Yeah, it's not so much of a groundbreaking, because this is the initial contract is to fix the roof and put the roof back on, because the roof has been in disrepair 20 years and getting worse. So that's the part of it. And then it's two other parts after that, Newell. It's to do insulation in the windows, the exterior envelope, and a remediation of the inside. So you can imagine what the inside of the building is like. So.
No, I can't. What is it like?
No. Well, I haven't been in it. I don't think anybody wants to go into it. But of course, you've had water. And the last we knew during the Landrieu administration, they had pallets of water and MREs inside of there. So who knows really what's in there at this point. But it certainly needs mold and some kind of climatization. And that's the effort of all of this, is the roof, windows, insulation, put some sort of HVAC system in there that'll make it stop getting worse.
Do we know, Glade, what the final intentions are there?
We do, in a broad scope. Years ago, and this process with Save Our Soul Coalition started June of 2021, if you can imagine that. We've been at this almost 4 years. And we did a tremendous outreach with the community to see what people in the neighborhood wanted. We had over 600 people respond to surveys. We had public forums. And they want something that will reflect the community, that will be studios, stages for performance, some sort of some sort of way to showcase what Treme and New Orleans, the historic core of New Orleans, means to the city in terms of all the things that people come here to see. Voodoo. Everybody wanted to hear about voodoo, slavery, Mardi Gras Indians. Of course, the birthplace of jazz, where the food came from, the history, the craftsmanship that was born in Treme. And the other thing that we would love this to do is provide economic opportunity for the neighborhood.
And will this continue to be under the government construct of the city as one of their assets, or how is that going to play out?
Well, it's owned by the city right now, the city of New Orleans. That whole complex from Mahalia Jackson, Louis Armstrong Park, and the Municipal Arboretum is owned by the city. So that's the controlling entity, if you will. The good thing about this is we've been able to put a coalition together to let the neighborhood and the community have some say. If there's anything, Newell, that came out of this, it showed that the people who really have love for the neighborhood and the community rose up, said what they needed to say, worked this process through the city council, through all the proper channels, actually through the state government, and it's going to reflect what the community wants to do, which I think will ultimately be good for the city itself.
Yeah, so that's encouraging. Do we have any idea this remediation? Is there a timeline? Is there some sense as how long before Glade Bilby will walk into the municipal auditorium?
Considering it's been 20 years, it's going to be slow. But I think that they're planning on the roof to be finished by March. Now, granted, this roof contract and all of this started about 2 years ago, and we thought it'd be almost done by now. And they haven't. They're working on the rest of part two and part three. So hopefully sometime next year, all of it will be done where you can safely go in there, but it won't be ready for events or anything like that. That's a much larger process, and it also involves the City of New Orleans, the Greater New Orleans Foundation, Save Our Soul Coalition. We are now putting funds together to get an RFP out to put a strategic master plan for the entire place, the park, the auditorium, Congo Square, so we can go into it with some kind of forward-thinking momentum as we build this thing out. And it's going to be a big project, $100 million. You could easily see this happening there based on what things cost today. So you'll probably be able to walk into it safely sometime next year, but I don't think there's going to be no events happening per se.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, on that side of the quarter, so I was down there for the Red Dress Run, right? And that's where the start was, and that's where they had all of their festivities. And as you walk around through there, it's really pretty. It's nice, you know, and with a little bit of attention, you know, for conventions that come in town. You talk about an incredible venue to lease out. And folks were telling me that the folks they had to work with in order to pull this off over at Armstrong Park, that they were all very excited. They were helpful. The place was clean. It was cool. I enjoyed it. And I mean, it made you realize how much that space has to offer.
I tell you what, it is a gem that I don't think gets its full recognition by people that come to the city. They all want to go to the quarter. That's right across the street from the French Quarter. It's beautiful over there. It's as you said and you've experienced, you walk around the place, it's kept up nicely. They have lagoons and statues in there, and it's really restful. So I think bringing this into something other than what they're doing now is they're having festivals or things that go on the weekend, on some weekends, but infrequently. I think bringing this back into the top of mind of the city will be a tremendous thing. We're working with the Levitt Foundation to do, and that's a nationwide organization that does outdoor music venues, to do something there that we can provide music on a weekly basis. And so that's moving forward at the same time that everything else is. So it's a collaboration in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's just it was a great time. You know, they had bands set up there. I mean, you know, it was just I hadn't been there in years, right? I guess like a lot of people.
Right.
You know, and so you realize and you recognize right away what this could be and what it could mean to that side of the French Quarter.
It's totally underutilized. And as we all do this remembrance of 20 years, in a kind of a backward way, I want to give a shout out to the mayor, because had she not wanted to put the municipal auditorium as make it as city hall and that sacred space of Congo Square, I don't think you would have had this community rise up, not in anger, not in despair, but in cooperation to do something that was really good for us going forward. And it's because of what she did, guided or misguided, we are all united to do something really positive.
So I know you touched on funding for this. How secure? So what's your feeling? I mean, do you think that this is something that will be pulled off? Obviously, the city's kind of down and out with their funding. I can't imagine they're going to be putting a lot of revenue towards this, but other sources, private foundations, you mentioned some. Are they willing to take this over as one of their signature projects?
Well, I think the first phase right now is using the $38 million of FEMA money. There's not quite 38 left, but that's what's funding this first stabilization, if you will, of the project. Going forward, that's a much bigger road to go down, to do something where it makes the auditorium viable again. I mean, it makes the whole, as you know, the park is in great shape. I mean, there's some buildings mm-hmm. that could be rehabbed on one park, but the park's really nice. It's usable right now, but the auditorium, no. So that's the future, is raising the funds to move forward with what we all envision it can be as a cultural learning center.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Hopefully able to pull it off. Glade, if you would, if you don't mind, if I pivot to cleanliness of the French Quarter.
Yes.
I was there the other day. It smelled really good.
Well, what do you think? It really does look good. I mean, it's made a big difference in everything. I mean, you can see people, the pride of the French Quarter, it seems like people care. I mean, it's sitting pretty, let's just say. And so on that aspect, everybody's very happy with where we are. Now, the next thing is when the IV waste contract comes up at the end of December, where do we go? What do we do? And that's kind of to be determined. And I think based on what we've been able to achieve through French Quarter Management District, through the residents and the businesses coordinating together, we're going to keep it clean.
Yeah, I mean, I was really moved by how the residents, the commercial establishments, who are not always on the same page, but they were on this issue, really made the rally cry out there as to wanted to have a say-so in the future of the place that they call home, their neighborhood, and how sanitation was going to be handled. I thought it was a difference maker.
It is, and as you and I have talked about in the past, we really have to protect this place. When you have 18 million tourists come through, it puts wear and tear on everything, and you need to keep it clean. You need to keep the experience positive for the people that visit, and that works out great for the residents and businesses that are here all the time. So we need to keep this momentum going, and I think it's going to be, I think we have nothing but a good future ahead of us.
Yeah, you know what I've been excited about, too, and you're going to think I'm crazy. You know all those painted orange and white and green and black lines all over the sidewalk and the streets with arrows and this and that? You know, with some of the power washing that has been going on in the quarter, that stuff's gone. It's really kind of nice.
It is to see the real sidewalk again. Yeah, it is. And the other thing, too, you know, we've talked about this. They're marking the corners, the no parking here, the fire zone, the fire hydrants, the sidewalk. So I think that's all helping people know where to park. It's better.
I always felt like I was walking through this hodgepodge of I don't even know what.
You know? No, nor does anyone else.
Okay, I admit, I got a little touch of OCD. I mean, I just can't. It just scatters the what little bit of a brain I have left. Glade, as always, enjoyed the conversation with you. Glade Bilby, president of the French Quarter Citizens and co-chair of the Save Our Soul Coalition Armstrong Park Community Group. Thank you for all that you do. You are a difference maker in our community. Glade Bilby, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, the Katrina story is your story. It's our story. It's New Orleans' story. It's a story of heartbreak and resilience, a story of courage, compassion, and determination. So Friday, join us for a special day-long broadcast featuring Tommy Tucker, myself, Scoot, live from the Presbytere in the French Quarter. Hear interviews you haven't heard before about the rescue, recovery, rebirth of one of America's most beloved city, you know, the place we call home. Brought to you by Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and Louisiana State Museums. Don't miss our special broadcast on the anniversary Friday, August 29th from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Presbytere and here on WWL. And also, please don't miss an amazing free symposium, Living with Hurricanes, Katrina and Beyond, reimagined for the next generation from 10 a.m. to noon, one block away, right across the street at Le Petit Theater. It's moderated by Norman Robinson and features Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, Walter Isaacson, Aaron Broussard, and former Mayor Lafitte Tim Kerner. Then tour the updated exhibition at the Presbytere from noon to 4 p.m. It's free and open to the public. And they've worked really hard on this, folks, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity to experience the opening of the new exhibit memorializing the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina right there at the beautiful Presbytere. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. And the special guest that we have this afternoon is Deanna Rodriguez, CEO, Entergy New Orleans, and we'll talk about their hardening of the infrastructure in the aftermath of Katrina and what continues as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Michael Heck. This is Newell on WWL.